next elder statement in line is Richie, believe it or not. Mokom shenahagu limkor behimadaka lo bekochavim mochrim. Mokom shenahagu shelo limkor ein mochrim. Now we have a number of, see, we talked yesterday about the various things that we don't want to sell that can be used for purposes of avodat kochavim. And that involves us in the issue of lifnei iver and also bechol, the issue of our encouraging the hodot of de kochavim through our actions and so on. But there are other items that we have concerns about. And one of those items, interestingly enough, is animals. And we have three concerns with animals. One concern is that if a goy uses an animal that belongs to a Jew to do malacha on Shabbat, then they're going to be causing us to be over on the Isser of Shvitat HaBehemah, because our animals are not allowed to work on Shabbat, even if we're not the ones that are working them. That's problem number one. Problem number two is the issue of Lifnei Iver, because it was rather common to use animals for sexual purposes, and we don't want to encourage that, because we're going to then cause the Goy to do an Isser, which is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. That's an Isser of Erva. And the third problem we have is the question of animals that can be used for weaponry. There's certainly, let's say, a horse can be used in war, and we want to make sure that people who are not reliable to use their weapons for the correct purposes are not given weapons. That's a contemporary concern. So, therefore, the Gemara begins like this. A behemah daka, one of the small animals, such as a sheep or a goat, it's not suitable for doing work with on Shabbat, and the only problem that we would have would be the question of the lifnei iver on the goy who may decide to sleep with his animal. And then it depends basically on the culture. Well, there are certain cultures in which such activities are not frowned on and they're looked at as normal. And there's other cultures that have a lot of hang-ups about issues like this. And then the normal people don't think about doing such things because they think they're crazy if they do it. Now, depending on what the culture is, if it's a place where the minhag would be, and of course this would be the Jews who would determine the minhag based on whether they had a chashash, that they have to worry about what people would do with the animals that they sell them. So in a place where the minig is to sell, obviously it means that the Yisrael in that area was aware that this was not a real problem, and therefore that you could sell to another kochavim. But a makom shenagu shalom limkor, their Jews were aware of the fact that animals were often used for sex, and they wouldn't sell because they didn't want to be machshir. U'b'chol makom ein mochrim lehem behemah gasa, but never can you sell them large animals, even when such large animals are young and still small. In other words, even though they're physically small, but the species is a large species. So you wouldn't be able to sell agalim, let's say, or sayachim, which would be young cattle or young horses. In the Gemara, actually, the sayach is always referred to as a young chamor. But, and it wouldn't even matter whether they were shvurim, whether they're shleimim, and therefore eventually at least will work on Shabbat, or whether they're shivurim, and they can't be used really for malacha. We don't distinguish between them. Some learn that this is overall a din of not distinguishing. Once we made a takana not to sell large species of animals, we made a takana, doesn't matter to the particular individual. Others learn the answer over here is because there is still some type of malacha that they could be used for. So even if they can't carry a burden, they could still be hitched up maybe to a grinder or something. They're always koshish to some level of use. In other words, what's the guy buying it for? Rabbi Yehuda, matir b'shvura, as Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no problem with the shvura. We'll see what they're arguing in the Gemara. And ben b'teraz, matir b'shus, and b'pashas, as Rashi explains, the reason that he says it's okay to sell them a horse is because horses were not used at the time for doing work. They were more respected than they are today, and they were used only for riding on. And therefore, even if someone would ride on a Jewish horse on Shabbos, the horse wouldn't be chayev, would he, for working on Shabbos? Because after all, a chayev maseyat atzmo. So if you carry out a child that can walk on Shabbat, and a chayev is for it, because the child is distributing his own weight and therefore participating in the malakha. Therefore, the same thing is true of a horse. A horse is not really doing a malakha by carrying a person. So why would we answer a gezerah, maybe somebody who will rent it to a guy, and the guy will use the Jewish horse to ride on, so what if he rides on? This is what Ben Batera holds. Now, as I mentioned before, there's other issues, such as weaponry, and we'll see later on that those who ask for the horse farm, because horses can be used in war, and therefore we shouldn't sell it to them. And then, of course, we have our other question of whether there's a takona bechalal on large animals, not to mention, of course, that it's still dependent in the minhag of sexual practices. That's the other. But assuming that there's no concern for lifnei there, then we're talking over here about this other concern, the Gabi Shmita Ben. So the Gemara, Lamema de Isura Leka Min Hago Hudika, you're telling me that it's not an absolute Isur to sell an animal that is still usable for sexual purposes, no matter what its size in terms of malacha, that you, it depends on the society. If it's a minhag to aser, then it's aser. If it's a minhag to be matzah, then it's mutter. And hecha de noig aser, so then it would be no. And hecha de noig heter, it would be no. Is that what you're claiming? I mean, that's what the Mishnah seems to be saying. But Baramini, we have an indication that that's not the case from later on, where it says, you're not allowed to stable an animal with a goyish stable, because, and here it seems to say as an absolute, because we're afraid that they're going to use the animal for sex. Amar Rav says, Rav, that Mishnah is taking for granted the minhag. And the thing is, we've already defined that there's a question of minhag, and there's a different society. So given that we're talking about a society in which you wouldn't be able to sell it, then it continues to tell me, okay, you're also not allowed to stable it. But in Okinami, if we're talking about a society in which such practices are frowned upon, so then the same way you'd be allowed to sell an animal, you'd be allowed to stable an animal. So it's a mokum shi'tirulim koni, tiruli yakeh. The truth is the two things are interdependent. Our Mishnah sets forth the idea of the minhag, of the heter, for mechira. So, okay, such a place, they were also matir to put it into a stable. But makom sha'asru liyakeh, in a place where they said it's usher to stable, and that was over there, that was referring to a makom, of course, where the minhag was that you wouldn't to be choshe. And therefore, in such a place, it would be usher limkor. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, your sense of this is absolutely correct. That when it comes to stabling, it doesn't matter what the minhag is. It's only where it comes to selling that it matters. And I'll tell you very simply what the difference is. After makom sha'asru liyacheh, even in places where they said that stabling was prohibited, they were matir limkor, there were still places where it would be okay to sell. And the reason is simply this. The prevalence of the practice is what's important. Because my time, the belief that they had was that an animal that would mate with a human would be permanently sterilized. So they wouldn't want to sterilize their own animal. So if you're going to sell them an animal, again, it depends on the practice. I mean, if it's that common, so, you know, okay, mamela, you know, you pay the extra price to have special sex animals. But over here, if you're going to stable an animal with them, they have them. It's your animal. What do they care what happens to your animal? So it's a great opportunity for them to enjoy themselves at your cost. And over there, they will, in fact, yes, use your animal. Mainly, you're not allowed to be, you know, to stable it with them because it was made there. And the truth is, Rav, who said that the two were interdependent, ended up changing his mind and realizing that the cases are not interdependent. Af Rav Hadar, Bei Rav himself had Charata. Here we find that Rav himself makes the distinction by saying that a goy is careful not to sterilize his own animal. If it's a Jewish animal, then there's no akbada on his part. Uvchol makom, continues the Mishnah, no matter what the case is in terms of local sexual mores, there's definitely a problem about mechira b'hinagana. My time, huh? Why is that different? Because mehidu revia lo chashin, and even though we're in a place in which it's not commonly acceptable to sleep with animals, but there's another problem. Ma'avi be'milacha. But it's the question over here is that we're chashinan about doing work with it. What? It's his animal. Manavi, let him work to his heart's content. He bought it. Even the Zavon HaKan, he said, what are you trying to say? That an animal having once belonged to a Jew is now Jewish, like becoming a ger, and there's no way you can go back by being sold to a guy? What is that supposed to mean? No. Of course, that's not the point. The point of it here is that we're afraid that if we allow mechira, then you might also perhaps open up a rent-a-horse agency, or you may lend someone an animal. So gizera mishum she'ela, Umishum Sikhirut. We're worried that perhaps this animal might be lent out or might be rented out. And then if the guy works it on Shabbat, he's going to be working a Jewish animal on Shabbat. The Jew is not allowed to have his animal working on Shabbat, and therefore we aser the Mesirah because of the problem, the chashash of She'ela and Sikhirut. Says the Gemara, but I don't understand that. She'ela, your problem is that what? The guy borrows it? If he borrows it, my friend, then Kanye.
then that borrowing makes him the owner. I mean, for all intents and purposes, he assumes full responsibility. If it's hit by lightning, it's going to be his problem, not your problem. And therefore, vis-a-vis the technicality of ownership of Shmitat Behemah, it would certainly seem that it would be his own and not yours. So even if he would borrow the animal, what's the big deal? An agra, what if he paid for it in Hertz rental horse? Then also Kanya, I mean, why isn't that a kinyan? Hela Amar Rami Bar Rabbi Eva says, therefore, Hela means, okay, we accept that, and we'll give you another reason. Instead, the problem over here is Zera Mishum Misyunik. What we're afraid of is that if you're going to have a sale on animals, you may also have a trial drive of an animal, right? I mean, that's the norm. You're going to your Jaguar Center, and you want to take the Jag out for a little ride, you know, just to decide if you want it. Now over here, assuming that the agency is open on, and we'll see, it's actually, it wouldn't work with an agency, but assuming that your store is open on Erev Shabbat, and the guy comes in pretty close to Shkia, and he says, you know, I'm interested in buying an animal, but I'd like to take it out for a drive, test drive. So over there, we're afraid, we're afraid he's going to sell it to him close to Shkiat HaChamad Malei Shabbat before Shabbat. Yomalei, the guy will say, well, before we settle this, Ta Nasya, I want to try to drive. Vishamalei Lekale, and now the owner of the animal, of course, is interested in putting it through its paces, will say, okay, Dabi there, I'll turn right. And of course, Dabi listens because he's used to following orders of the owner. But in doing that, he is now being Mechamer Hachar Behem Tobi Shabbat. Because if it's already after Shkia, so now he's being Mechamer, Va Mechamer Hachar Behem Tobi Shabbat Chayav Chatat. There is a Shita that holds that someone who does that would be Chayav Chatat, because that's actually working your animal yourself. That's not the animal doing work. Now, of course, this is very strange, because all of a sudden we're bringing in the Chamer, we could just have said, we should be afraid that the guy is going to put something on the animal and try it out, and then he's going to be using your animal will be doing Malach on Shabbat. Why all of a sudden did we switch to Mechamer, which is even a Machlokas, whether you're Chayav Chatat? There's a number of different approaches to this. First of all, it seems clear, and Tosa speaks this out, and there's Ramazim and Rashi as well, it seems clear that the Gezera of the possibility of Shvitat Behem Tov, that somebody's, my animal will be used to do work, is considered to be a very weak kind of Gezera that will get confused with selling, with lending, and this, and that whole thing is only in a case where you're going to be keeping the animal with you for the whole Shabbat, and then you're going to be working it over Shabbat, not it might do technically a malacha while it's Shabbat. That's not the issue. Therefore, only problem is Mechamer. That's one approach. There's another approach by the Ram who says that you'll notice the case over here is that he buys it from him on Erev Shabbos, near Shkia. So actually, the guy gave him the money, because you're not going to let the guy take it for a ride until you're holding his cat. And he just wants to make sure that there's nothing that is fatally wrong that will cancel the sale. So now he wants to try it. So that means that essentially it's really his, because the guy just cone it from giving over the money. So we have no real chashash about this unit. Our only chashash is that in order to show off this animal, you will put it through its paces. Now, he holds the run. He holds the run that even if it's somebody else's animal and you're Mechamer, that is like you wish Shvitat Behemah. Mechamer Achar Behemah, it's anybody's Behemah. You're causing the animal to do it. Now, that itself, of course, is a whole issue whether that's what's called by Mechamer, but in any event, it's a completely different approach to this. Maskevlo Rav Shisha Bered Ravid. Now, Rav Shisha Bered Ravid, he didn't like the way that we let this slip right out of our hands by saying, well, if he rented it, it's his, isn't it? Is that true? This Chirut Mikam, when you rent something, it's necessarily yours? But not, Afma Kong Shamrula Askir. Over there, the Mishnah was talking about the heter to rent a house out to a goy. So it says over there, you're not allowed to rent in Eretz Yisrael because of the problem of Lo Tzeich Hanayim. In the Chutz Lartz, you can rent, and even where you can rent, continues the Mishnah there, Lo Lebeit Diram, you can't rent a house out for a goy to live in. When you're going to rent in a house, you're going to put up a cross with a picture of Yashka on the cross. So the Yitzhak, that is Chirut Kanya. If you were so right about this, that when somebody rents something from you, it's his. And so you're saying, well, what's the problem if he rents it, so it's going to be his animal? By the same token, it's going to be his house. What do we care what he brings into his house? How come I'll obey take him? If he brings it, and he's bringing it to his own home, isn't he? So why are we machmer over there? It seems clear that schirut is not a real case. Says the Gemara, well, there's no comparison between the two cases of the shvitat habehimah and the bringing in the avodat kochavim into a house. Shiny avodat kochavim dechamira. The Torah was much more machmir on avodat kochavim dechtiv, velo tavi toeval beitecha, which it seems to imply, make sure you see to it that you don't get into a position in which a toiva is brought into your home. So therefore, even the ultimate sense of home, not the technical sense of home, is what's important to us. And since you are the owner on contract, even though you may say technically it's owned by somebody else, there the Torah is being very mocked, even in that sense. Now hold on a second. So now you're going backwards and you're saying that schirut is kona, except where it comes for a problem over here. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Is schirut kona, according to one of the ways you're looking at it, is kona. And that's why you said there's no problem. I have my own problem with this. That's not. Yisrael shesachar pora mikohen. A Jew, non-kohen, rents a pora from a kohen. He is allowed, yachilena karshine truma, he is allowed to feed that behema, karshine truma. Because it's a Kohen's animal, and the Kohen's animal can be fed truma. And this is talking about a case where the Yisrael rent the para, and that implies that it still belongs to the Kohen, right? Now you'll say, but wait a minute, I mean, but how can you use the truma? I mean, if it's his truma, it's not your truma. I mean, well, that's all very nice in terms of the heter of using truma, but what about the monetary question? Whose truma is it? You're supposed to give it to a Kohen, and how can you give it to the Kohen? So Rashi says, okay, the case in this case, here would be, he's not considered to be a goslin either, because the Kohen is very happy to accept that truma on behalf of his animal, because he figures, if you're going to be feeding his animal truma, you're going to be feeding it a lot better than if you'd be feeding it out of your own pocket. So what does he care? It's no sweat off his back, because maybe you wouldn't have given him the truma anyway, right? So he figures, what, it's a great deal. He'll feed my animal the very best food, you know, he'll take good care of it. I'm very happy for him to take that truma, essentially on my behalf, for my animal. So it turns out that it's the Kohen's animal. The Kohen could have given it to the animal, so the Kohen's not mocked but on the Gezela element either. The Kohen Shizachar Param Yisrael. Now a Kohen who rents an animal from a Yisrael, Alpha Pisha Bizonotea Alav, even though he's the one that's supposed to provide the food, Lo Yachilin Okashine Truma, cannot feed a truma. Now, if you're right in saying Isak, as you claim that skewers is kona, and therefore the only problem we have over here is the problem of the test drive right next to Shabbat, and not the question of schirut to Sheilah. My lo yachi lena, I don't understand. So then if schirut is actually kona, why can't in this case the Kohen feed the animal truma? Because it's kinyan kaspo. I mean, the Torah says kinyan kaspo hu yochalbo. Anything that the Kohen owns, whether it's a servant or whether it's an animal, is allowed to eat truma. Why can't he feed this parat truma paradidehi? Technically speaking, this is indeed his animal. Elishvamina shirut lo kanya. So therefore, it's clear to me that shirut is not kona. Now, the truth is, we see there's a lot of going back and forth over here in the sugya. And in fact, there are elements in which we say schirut is kona, and elements in which schirut is not kona. And what's confusing about this is, remember that there's an issue of kinyan perot, whether kinyan perot has a din of kinyan haguf or not. Over here you have the right of using the perot, so to speak. You're using the work of the animal. That doesn't, so the question is whether that is a kinyan in the actual body of the animal or not. Now, there seems to be a lot of contradictions, a lot of talk in the acronyms, a very nice talk actually, about why it is in certain sugyas we seem to assume schirut kona. And another figures, we seem to assume that schirut is low kanya. Let's say when it comes to issues that are chiyuvim, I have to determine whether it's mine or not vis-a-vis bringing bikurim. I rented a field. Do I bring bikurim and do I say this is my field and I thank the Lord for giving me the field? You know, things that have to do with my balu is one issue. Things that have to do with the din on the animal qua that animal is another issue. Not my responsibility, but what the din is of that animal. And there, the Achronim make a distinction between the two. In other words, if it has to do with the state, the animal is not allowed to work. It's not just that I, as the Yisrael, can't work my animal. It's not a din on me. It's a din that defines the animal. When you're coming to define the nature of the animal itself, you have to look at the fundamental ownership, not the use ownership. When it comes to the definition of the responsibilities of the one who's using the thing, which is an element of balus. Then you take a look at the use rights elements of balus, you see. And in that case, then the steward would be kanya, and I would have to treat it as if it were mine, because that's the whole point, Sheila. Act as if it's yours. You're going to be taken care of, you're going to be paid for, you're going to be responsible for damages. Then you're also responsible for bringing the bikurim and so on. Anything that has to do with your relationship to the thing, you see. But here we're talking about things that have to do with the thing as the thing, not the question of your relationship to the thing. And then it's the ultimate question of balo that's important. Not usages, but the item. And therefore, if you take that approach, that's Rav Shimon Shkrob's approach, if you take that approach, you see that all of the sugyot actually work out very consistently, looking at those two ideas. So, in this case, hashta the amit, now that you're saying that vis-a-vis the din of the animal itself, sirut lo kanya, then we no longer have to limit ourselves to the test drive problem. We've got now three issues. We've got the test drive. And we have the Gzera Mishum Skirut and the Gzera Mishum Sheila. So we have to really treat them differently. Rav Ada said, if you've got an agent that you're actually selling jag, I mean real jag, so in that case, there's no problem. And I'll tell you why. He was Batir, Shara Lezvune Chamra Ayada B'Safsira. He said that an agent can sell a chamor. Because what's your problem? Your problem is that he may take the chamor out for a test drive. Well, the agent ain't going to be able to get that chamor to do a darn thing because the chamor doesn't know it. So he's going to say, hey, how about to the right? You know, the chamor is not going to pay any attention to it. So the whole idea over here was limited to an owner who's selling an animal with which he's familiar. But if you're talking about a businessman, this guy has nothing to do with the animal. Why would he be able to be in the chamor after that animal anyway? And if you're Paolo Yada Lakale, he's not familiar with this man's voice, the Azla Makmate, that he would follow it, so that the person would be a Makam there. The Imishum Sheilav is Chiru, the one you're going to tell me. Maybe he'll lend it to you, maybe he'll rent it. First of all, it's not his. He doesn't have a right to do that. He's an agent to sell the animal. To Kiman Dalavdi Dehi, Lomo Shiva Lomo Gir. It's not his. He's not going to rent it to you. He's not going to lend it to you. He's not going to rent it to you. Furthermore, you may say, well, yeah, you know, he may want to make some money on the side and he'll rent it. He doesn't, you see, because if he rents it, then anything that's wrong with that animal, you're going to know, and you're not going to buy. So why would anybody, trying to sell a used car, rent you that car first? I mean, that's crazy. And he's going to know why you're selling it. So therefore, the old mission, the lo nigle be muma, we don't want people to know about the mum. Ravuna zavinahi pora lo ove kokavim. Ravuna sold a pora to a goy, and that was a shock. I mean, pora is a large animal. Omar le rechista, what? My time of in Marathi. I don't understand. What was the hetzer doing that? Omar le, and Ravuna said to him, because aim of the shrita zavin. I have no reason to suspect. I mean, if you tell me I was selling a kamor that somebody's going to use for work, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, I sold a pora. I have no reason to assume that the guy bought it in order to work with it, in which case we would have the gezeira that maybe, you know, I'll rent it and so on. I have no problem with selling something for food purposes, and I have a right to rely on that and not worry about shritat behima. Where'd you get that from? How do you know that you have a right to rely on, well, maybe he'll use it for purposes that are okay? Oh, well, I'll show you very clearly. It's not. Beit Shammai omrim, lo yimkor adam paraha choreshet bashvii. Beit Shammai says, well, you mustn't sell during Shemitah to a Jew who is not known for keeping Shemitah. Don't sell him a para that can be used for plowing. And Beit Hillel says, what's the problem? Beit Hillel matirim. What makes you say that he's buying this para in order to plow it? Maybe he's buying the parah to eat. So I saw from there, said Ravuna, that according to the normative halacha, in the way Beit Hillel paskins, you have a right to assume that there's no problem of lifnei iver there, because the guy may, I mean, why do I have to worry about him using it for iser when he could use it for eter just as easily? Oh my rabbi, what possible comparison is there between the two cases? Midami. Hatam ein adam etzuvel shvitat behem tov b'shvi. Over there, you don't have a problem if your animal works on. So iser on one's animal. The answer is on land, not on the animal. So the only question that arises there is lifnei iver, right? Okay, so for lifnei iver, of course, you're saying, well, I shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of him. I mean, come on. I mean, that's if it's clearly a stumbling block. He's blind. I mean, over here, there's every option he has to do heter. What I have to decide he's going to be doing yisr. But if the chashash is my own responsibility directly for what the animal is doing,
such as over here where I've got a problem of work on Shabbat. I don't understand what right you have. That was the whole point of the Gezerah. I mean, what right do you have to say, well, you know, maybe he's using it for something else. I mean, this is not a Litnei-Iver issue. Halka adam mitzuvel shvitat b'em tov b'shabbat. Hashem, in this case, it is your responsibility to see to it that your animal doesn't work on Shabbat. Oh my, I don't quite understand how you're, I mean, v'kol hechad adam mitzuvel. So what you're claiming the implication of what you're saying is that where the person has his own responsibility and it's not a Litnei-Iver issue, then it's asur. Is that true? I mean, but, you know, let's forget about the animal. You're right. There's no isser on an animal doing work during Shemitah. But there certainly is an isser in having your ground work during Shemitah, because it says Shnat Shabbaton Yeh La'aretz. And that's a very important idea. Shnat Shabbaton Yeh La'aretz does not mean that the human being is also to do work. It means very much what Shabbat means for your animal. The earth is not supposed to do work. And you're responsible to see to it that the earth that you own doesn't do work on Shabbat of the Aretz, which is the Shabbaton Yeh La'aretz. Now over there, so a Sadeh, the Adam Mitzuvel Shvitat Sadeh Bishvi, and it does say in the Brayse of the Tanya, Beit Shammai Omrim, Lo Yimkor Adam, stay near Bashvi. Beit Shammai says, don't sell a field that had been plowed during Shemitah, and why is the guy buying the field that's plowed? He's probably going to use it to plant in if it was plowed. The guy wants to buy a piece of land. He's saying just because it was somebody had plowed it up before, now it's ready for planting. Therefore, that means the guy's going to plant it in. And he says, who's to say that he won't leave it fallow until next year? That's not my problem. Which means that Beit Hillel was saying that even where it's my problem, it's my land, and I should not be putting it in a position where it's going to be work. Nonetheless, I can rely on the fact that who's to say he's going to do something wrong with it? Is the same thing with the parah? I mean, obviously, if I'm selling the guy a donkey, he's not going to eat the donkey. Maybe he's going to eat donkeys normally. So he's going to work with it. But a parah, why can't I rely he's going to eat the parah? Matipla Ravashi. On the other hand, Tanya's Ravashi. Let's look at it the other way. Kol hechad de'eina adam mitzuveh. Are you then saying, I mean, what you're implying is that the issue over here is where the Adam himself is mitzuveh, and that's the place where we've got our problems, we have to worry about it. But if the person himself wouldn't be mitzuveh, then we don't have to worry about it at all? What about kelim? How about agricultural implement? We're certainly, ein Adam mitzuveh shvitat kelim b'shvit. I mean, I have to worry. It certainly never says anything about, and make sure that your plow is left unused. There's no such halacha. Make sure your land isn't plowed. So, nonetheless, it says, Elohim kelim she'en adam reshai l'mochran bashvi'i. The following tools, implements, cannot be sold during Shemitah to somebody who is not known for keeping Shemitah. Ach makarei shah, the plow, v'chol keleah, and anything that's associated with the plow. Ha'ol, which would be the yoke to hook it up, ve'hamazra, Vahadakar, some machlokes about what these things is. Rashi learns that a mazra is basically a pitchfork, which is used to, it's called mazra because it's mizareh. You use it to throw the grain up into the air in the wind, and then the wind clears it. And dakar, its name is mazra, and it's pointy, so it would be like a hoe. That type of thing. Tosfos shows that it seems to be used differently, but he's not quite sure himself what the some other kli. Elam Ravashi. Therefore, says Ravashi, let's not make it dependent on whether the issue is the listening, their issue or the issue is the personal responsibility. The idea over here is kol hecha the ikla mitla talina. If you've got a reason to assume, let's say the case of the parah, or the case of the stay near, where people could easily be buying a sudden now because he wants it a year from now. I mean, the piece of land that you want isn't always available. A guy's buying the field, he's happy. Oh, wow, I've been waiting for a chance like this. So he buys it, even though he can't use it this year. The parah easily can be explained away as being bought for purposes of eating and so on. So all of these cases, you have a right to assume that that's what it's for and that you can sell. But the lekal mitzvah, where you don't have a right to assume such a thing, a guy is buying now agricultural implements that you can buy anytime that you want. I mean, so why is he buying it now during Shemitah? There you don't have to worry about it, even though it's only a question of litnei there. And it was wrong to introduce the distinction between these two classes. Now, Rabbah, so
So Ezer Elekel Mitzle Lo Talino Afagav Deina Mitzvah, even though it's only a listening Hebrew issue, and it's not his personal responsibility. Rabba Zavin Ahu Chamor Yisrael Achashud Limkor Lo Ovei Kochavim. Now Rabba went ahead, sold a chamor, which certainly nobody's going to be chefing and eating, to a Jew who was known to have sold things to a god. So now Abaya asked him, how could you do that? My time over Marachi. So Rabba said, I understand. I wasn't over on the Yisrael selling to a goy. I sold it to a Yisrael. Anneli Yisrael's Mina. So, said Abaya, but Omar Leva, Ozil Mazvin Levovit Kochavim. Well, he's going to go now and sell it to another Kochavim. Said Rabba back to him. I said, what do you mean he's going to sell it to another Kochavim? He's only going to sell it to another Kochavim? He's not going to sell it to a Jew. He's got a sign up on there. No Jews allowed. And he's selling. Okay. Maybe a Govik Kochavim will come in. Maybe a Jew will come in. Well, why would I need to worry about that? Now, it's very interesting because we said before that you're over, you have to be careful about lifnei iver, but not on lifnei iver, and we took that for granted. But as I explained to you then, and this is where the mocker is, there's a difference between the lifnei iver on a goy who may do something will cause another person, Jew or goy, to do an iser, and a Jew. And one of the reasons was because the Jew himself has to worry about lifnei iver. So then you're going to be lifnei iver on giving him a lifnei iver. This is himself a lifnei iver. So there's never lifnei to lifnei when it comes to a Jew. That's essentially the way Tosis approaches the issue over here. So now on this svara that Rabba made for allowing himself to sell his chamor to a guy who was very likely to sell it to a goy, Abaye asked him from the following. Makom shenaha gulim kor behima daka lakutim. In a place where the minhag is to sell a behima daka to kutim. Now the kutim, they were very religious about Torah shebichtav issues, and did not accept interpretation of Torah shebalpeh, and they weren't like goyim in their behavior, but we were gozer on them ultimately to treat them like goyim. So there it says, we've been talking about selling to an akum until now. But there's also the same din by a behema dakalakutim. It's a bakum shenagol in kor behema dakalakutim mochrim, shalol in kor in mochrim. Now, we know so far the only thing that we have decided about selling to a problem of selling behema dakam was the issue of sex, nothing else, because there was no, you're not going to use behema dakam to do work on. So, what is the iser of selling a small animal to a kuti? My time. Is it because we're worried that that kuti is going to have the same sexual activities that the goy would have, and he's going to use this animal? Is that true, though? It appears that kutim are careful, being as this is something that is a biblical injunction, so they're careful not to do such things. And I'll prove it to you. Because Vatanya, we have a brayta that says like this. Ein ma'amidim behema b'fundakut shel ovei kochavim. Now, before, we didn't start distinguishing between the sexes. We just said, you can't go and stable your animal in a non-Jewish stable. But the truth is that this would be true whether it's Zecharim Eitzel Zecharim or Nikevot Eitzel Nikevot. This is even true of putting male animals in to an area where there would be female, someone who's a female taking care of it, a male taking care of it, or a female animal given to a stable owner who is herself a female. And the reason for this is because they're constantly switching anyway. So in other words, let's say you're saying, well, what is a female going to do with a female animal that you have to worry about? But you forget that this female goya certainly is going to be having plenty of male visitors. Now suppose the male visitor knocks on the door, doesn't find her at home, and finds a beautiful Jewish animal instead. So then, there's no reason for us not to worry about it, and vice versa would also be true. So the male, they start with mine, the kevot, they tell the charim, and the charim, they tell the kevot. Certainly, you don't want to mix sexes and put a male animal with a female, and that obviously the female herself will use the animal. And ein mosrim behema l'ro'eh shelahem ve'ein miyachadim imam. No, this is all about akum, right? And we're bringing this into contrast to this, these dinim, when it comes to the kuti. So you cannot give to a ro'eh who is an akum. He's going to shepherd your animal, and you're going to for sure be machshel him in sleeping with that animal. Ve'ein miyachadim imam. You're not allowed to be alone with an akum because they can kill you. Ve'ein mosrim lahem tinok l'lamdo sefer. Don't send a child to teach how to read, because if he teaches him how to read, he's going to be teaching him about the Bible and Yoshka and so on. And don't even send him l'lamdo umanut. You don't want him even teaching him to be a carpenter, because he will end up using the child for sexual purposes, and then we have a lefneiver problem again. And we're not allowed to give him opportunities to do isurim. It's very interesting that that's the problem, not that we're worried about the impact on the poor child. And Rashi says the issue over here is the ver mechuyev for the davak bishto velo bezachar. It's interesting. Tosis asks this question. Isn't there, and this is such an amazing thing because it runs the whole pornography. What about the question of he has other opportunities anyway? So there's other students he could sleep with, but there's other animals he could stay with. And the Tosis answers that when it comes to sex, each thing is unique. This animal is attractive to him in a unique way. So he wants this animal. And this is amazing thing because this is what people will spend thousands of dollars obsessed with pornography sites, and you'd think they're all exactly the same. What could possibly be on one that's not on the other? There's only one set of things you could possibly do. And it doesn't matter. Everyone is unique. It's an astonishing idea. I remember which says it in unbelievable things about humanity in general. It's an encouraging thing that humanity always believes that there's a chance that something will be satisfied. You know, it never is. But maybe this one will be satisfied. This is an eternal optimism. It's some ability to connect with things. It's amazing because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that that's the schus for Yisrael by Torah. The unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes about whether Koresh is a melech kosher or is a melech rush. And what's it dependent in? It says over there, Hashegal meant Mimino. The Shegal was there, and Machlokes said to Gemara, what is a Shegal? One man Yomar says a Shegal is a dog. Sex partner. The other one is the queen. So the Mandiyamar who says that it's a dog, the Gemara attacked by the Pasuk that talks about in Tehillim and Memhei, talks about the Yaf Yafit of Ibn Adam, the idea of Tamir Chachamim, and it says, Nitzav Shegal Yimincha B'Ketam Ophir. So how could we be saying that the schus of Tamir Chachamim is that they have a sex partner and it's a dog? It's crazy. And the Gemara answers the most astonishing answer, that according to that Mandiyamar, the meaning of the pasuk is that the schus that a Talmud Chacham relates to Torah, the way that a guy relates to kinky sex, is the reason that I'll have a ketam ofir. Sounds completely insane, right? But the point is astonishing. Take a look at this. A guy domesticated, Mela, no, same person. But look at a guy who's into such things. Yes. He's obsessed. So he feels, but it's the same dog. It doesn't matter. This one's different breed, right? It's the same thing. But understand, you learned this Mishnah in the Mishnah. Well, you got to hear the bride, but you have to review this take on it. Of course I do. I'm obsessed. Maybe this time it will give me something more. And this is constant trying. And therefore, your zoch of the ketam ofir. What a beautiful thing. So this is the ultimate statement that hope never dies. Anyway, so getting back to the sugya over here. So by the goy we see that we've got all of these problems, and by the kutim, the brisa specifically says we don't have these problems, because it says aval ma'amidim be'ema b'pundakot shel kutim. You can actually stable your animals by a kuti, even zecharim etzel nekevot and nekevot etzel zecharim. And in circle for sure, zecharim etzel zecharim and nekevot etzel nekevot, because they don't engage in wife swapping and in this type of sexual practices and so on. Umosrim be'ema l'ro eshelam. You can even trust the shepherd that he's a religious kuti. He's not going to do such a thing. Umiyachadini mayhem. You don't have to be worried that they're going to kill you to be alone with them. Umosrim lam tinok l'lam do sefer. He's not going to teach him minas. You can give it to him, l'lam do umanut. You don't have to be afraid he's going to use the child for sex. Alma lo chashide. So we see that kutim are not kosher. So tell me, Rabbi, why then does it say that you're not allowed to sell if they're not kosher themselves? There's only one explanation. If you sell to them, they'll sell to a guy. That's the explanation. And you said that's not a problem. You said if I sell to someone that I don't have to worry about that directly, I don't have to worry. And furthermore, I'll bring another riot that you're wrong. V'yo, Tanya. Here it says, Ein mochrim lahem, lo zayin, v'lo klei zayin, v'lo ein mashbizim lahem et hazayin. You can't sell a goy. It's not about the kuti. You cannot sell weapons, or for that matter, any adjuncts to weaponry. You don't sharpen their weapons for them. Ein mochrim lahem, you don't sell them things that are used for smothering their dissent and enemies, such as stocks or handcuffs or kabbalim, shalshalaot, all these kind of things. You don't give into a goy's hands. That is true whether it's an akum or whether it's a kuti. Now why, if it's a kuti? My time. Is it because we're afraid that the kuti may take that gun that you sell him and shoot somebody with it? And he's choshev hashvichut damim? I thought you said a moment ago that they're not choshev hashvichut damim. You said they're not chashan and shvichut amim, and you're allowed to be alone with the kuti. Obviously, there's only one concern, and that is mishum dati v'zmano aved kochavim, because you're afraid that it's going to be sold to a goy. Maybe you'll say, well, I mean, there's still a difference because a kuti, after all, I mean, he may in the end decide to listen to what the chachamim say, and he's not going to sell it. That he's not going to do. The Yisrael would do that, and you sold to Yisrael. That's not true, because Omer Mnachon, Omer Rabba Baravua, Kederach Shamru Asur Limkor La'akum, Kach Asur Limkor LaYisrael, Kach Asur Limkor La'akum. Now I got you. You can't get a clear psak from that. Why? I should never have sold that chamor. He immediately jumps out of the house to chase after the guy to buy it back from him. So Roy Batra, he chased him running after him. Salata Parsoy is about 12 kilometers. The Ikedi Amri, and some say, well, it was actually only one parsa, but it was Bechala. It was in the middle of the desert, and he was running through the sand, and it was awfully hard to run, but he kept running until he just ran out of energy. Below Adarka, he never caught up with him, and his chamor got out of hand. In the same way, you're not allowed to sell these kind of weapons to a goy. You can't sell either to a listim who is Jewish. Well, what's the case? I mean, what, if the guy is dangerous? Obviously. But if it's nothing with religion, it has to do with the social danger. What do we care if he's Jewish or not Jewish? The only reason we said the akum is because we're assuming that he's kashrut. But a Yisrael who's known to be kashrut is obviously known to be kashrut. I'm not going to be allowed to sell him weaponry. I know of Eko Chavim. For all intents and purposes, it's the same case. Be the low cut. Only if the guy has never, I mean, no reason for us to think he's going to tell anybody. He's not a murderer. Why is it possible to do him? My law. Why can't I sell him a gun? Says the Gemara, we all love the low cut. So the case indeed is that he has never been known to murder. But Alkamai Eskinan b'mashmuta. We're talking about over here a guy who is on the run. And he's got people's money, and they're chasing him. And we're afraid, because in the Dabadat Suleinach, we're afraid when the posse catches up with him, he may indeed start shooting. And in that case, you don't want to provide him with the weapons to do that. Tana Rabbana, by the way, some learn this mashma'ut in Rashi, that not that he's going to kill anybody with it, but that he can use it to defend himself and make off with the money, and you don't want to help him do that either. In which case, this would be a chiddush, in that you're not allowed to provide weaponry even for people that might use it for purposes of intimidation, not necessarily to kill with them. And that too is considered to be a lifnei. Tana Rabbana, emochim lehem trisim. Now, in the Baraita, it says you can't sell a shield, which is purely defensive. Of course, this is all part of modern contemporary issues. You know, can you sell defense systems to countries that are, you know, so you're saying, well, you can't sell a defense system either. Others say, no, if it's defensive, then you can sell it to them. My time. You don't even shoot the magma. Now, what would be the problem selling something defensive? Because we don't want them to be able to defend themselves, because that makes it easier for them to be aggressive. So then, you shouldn't be able to supply them. Don't sell them supplies. Don't sell them oil. Don't sell them food. It's the same thing, isn't it? Omar Rav said, Rav, you know something? Let me tell you, my friend. If you'd be able to do that, and you wouldn't sell them things, and it wouldn't cause itself a tremendous hostility, that you refuse to sell them defensive or supportive things, it would be a good idea not to engage in anything that would allow them to be more aggressive. Why should you sell them food? Okay, I mean, it's not a practical thing. You can't go around saying that a country that you don't trust, you can't do business with them at all, because then you're going to really get into trouble. You're going to end up causing more problems in the world. Others say, no, the issue is not defense. The issue is that sometimes defensive things can be used for offense. So you can have aircraft weapons that you fire into the Galil. You know, you're using anti-aircraft weapons. So the same thing is true of Trisim. Trisim, I know time it is low. The Chisholim deny when you run out of ammunition, they use the Trisim as a weapon. Copy the Gavayah, then actually use the Trisim. The Yeshomrim, others say, come off it, we're talking about Iraqis after all. Mochrim lem Trisim, the Chisholim deny when they run out of ammunition, they run.
The Arikarte.
What do you call them Iraqis for? Iraqi means to run away. So the Arikaraki, they simply run away and they run out of ammunition.
Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Barav, Hu HaHalakha Ki Yesh Omrim.
That's how we pass. We don't have to be worried about using defensive systems for offense. Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava, which takes us further. Ein Mochrim Lehem HaShashiyot Shel Barzel. You can't even sell them ingots of steel. My time, huh? Mishum Dechal Shem Inayu Klei Zayin. Because they can use that for the manufacturing of weapons.
What?
I mean, that should mean you can't sell them any implement that they could melt down to use. I mean, what are you going to sell? You're not allowed to sell them a shovel. I mean, they'll melt down the shovel and they'll make weapons. I mean, whatever. Whoever heard of that?
Omar, Rabbi Zvi, we're not talking about just metal. We're talking, when we say Ashashiyot Shabazar, we're talking about steel.
Parzala Hindua.
We're talking about that Hindu stuff that they make, and that's made only for one purpose. That's used for weaponry, and therefore we don't even sell them raw materials for weaponry. I think a normal metal that's softer, why should we think they're going to use that for making weapons?
But even the Kamiz Benina, how do you explain the fact that nobody seems to be mocking them this nowadays?
Everybody is selling weapons all over the world and we're competing.
Yes, I'm Ravashi, that's the Parsoi. We're selling it to the Persians. After all, we live here and they're Magnu Yilun. They're the ones who are protecting the country. I'm going to say we're not, I mean, we have to sell it to them.
So that's where we sell, but ain't nothing army. To engage in armed sales to dangerous countries would indeed be us soon.